From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. To this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tamassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tamassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 38 and verse 21. Forsake me not, O Lord. Frequently we pray that God would not forsake us in the hour of trial and temptation, but we too much forget that we have need to use this prayer at all times. There is no moment of our life, however holy, in which we can do without His constant upholding. Whether in light or in darkness, in communion or in temptation, we alike need the prayer, Forsake me not, O Lord. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. A little child, while learning to walk, always needs the nurse's aid. The ship left by the pilot drifts at once from her course. We cannot do without continued aid from above. Let it then be your prayer today, Forsake me not. Father, forsake not thy child, lest he fall by the hand of the enemy. Shepherd, forsake not thy lamb, lest he wander from the safety of the fold. Great husbandman, forsake not thy plant, lest it wither and die. Forsake me not, O Lord, now, and forsake me not at any moment of my life. Forsake me not in my joys, lest they absorb my heart. Forsake me not in my sorrows, lest I murmur against thee. Forsake me not in the day of my repentance, lest I lose the hope of pardon and fall into despair. And forsake me not in the day of my strongest faith, lest faith degenerate into presumption. Forsake me not, for without thee I am weak, but with thee I am strong. Forsake me not, for my path is dangerous and full of snares, and I cannot do without thy guidance. The hen forsakes not her brood. Do thou then evermore cover me with thy feathers, and permit me under thy wings to find my refuge. Be not far from me, O Lord, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. O ever in our cleansed breast, bid thine eternal spirit rest, and make our secret soul to be a temple pure and worthy thee.
Thank you.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. As Pastor Tamassian continues this series from 1 Thessalonians, he brings the final portion of Part 2 of a message entitled, Pastoral Prayer for an Infant Church. The text is verses 10 through 13 of chapter 3. Although absent from them, Paul's heart was greatly burdened for the new believers in Thessalonica. When Timothy returned with the report that the fledgling Christians were going on with God, Paul was overjoyed. In the final verses of the chapter, he utters a prayer for their continued progress in mutual love and personal holiness. He wanted to perfect their faith, not in its basic essence, but in its knowledge of all that they now possessed in Christ. No church ever gets to the place where it needs no further knowledge of the Savior. Now, to conclude this message, here is the Reverend Armin Tamassian.
Paul is praying here that the church would increase in love one toward another and toward all men. And as a pastor ministering to a congregation that is surrounded by the common knowledge and news of separation after separation and divorce after divorce, and the fear of the heart is, who will be next? I have prayed regularly that God, and again it's a wish, it's a longing like Paul had, as he's expressing here, that number one, I would never see the divorce of anyone that I am called to minister to. Number two, I would never see the children that I'm called to minister to ever lost and depart from the faith. It is so grieving to the soul. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. Those that are married here today, make sure that that love is abounding toward your spouse. You're increasing and abounding in love toward your husbands, your wives. As I stand before this congregation, you would manifest that. How on earth can we truly be said to love anyone if we cannot love the one we have vowed to God to love till death us do part. So the extent of love is here in verse 12. We also have the example of it, even as we do toward you. How are we to love others? Well, the so-called wisdom of the day would say, you need to love yourself before you love others. Every time I read that, I cringe. You need to love yourself before you love. I'm learning to love myself so that I can love others. And people spend all this energy trying to love themselves. They do. And I lament. I mean, it's out there in the world, but I mean, they're ships without rudders. They don't acknowledge the truth, so I don't expect much from them, but it's coming into the church. I hear Christians talk this way. I'm learning to love myself. This is a carnal and satanic distraction from the will of God. First, and I'm just touching on this. This is not extensive at all, but just throwing seeds of preventative measures into your mind. First, God's word never commands you to love yourself. It assumes it. It assumes you love yourself. Ephesians 5, 28 and 29. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh. It assumes you love yourself. You don't have any problem there. Second, the word of God warns that a focus upon self-loving is a mark of an ungodly generation. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. They'll put a priority there. They'll make it the focus of their lives, trying to learn to love themselves. In contrast, Paul's desire is that the church would love others, and that they will learn how to do so by learning from the example of himself and Silas and Timothy that were before them, even as we do toward you. He's essentially encouraging them to ask, what would Paul do? Or what did Paul do? And if you want to know what Paul did, go back to chapter 2, especially the opening 12 verses. I'll not go over it. You can, if you missed those messages, you can listen to them, but you can read it yourself and see the extent of Paul's love for them. And Paul's praying, Lord, help them to love each other as much as we love them. And Paul had loved them. And maybe some that were in the church had been enemies of God. Indeed, they all had been enemies of God. But maybe they had manifested actual hostility toward Paul, and yet he loved them. Won them for Christ. Thirdly, and very quickly, he wished for their holiness at the second coming. He wished for their holiness at the second coming. Now, when we come into chapter 4, we're going to be dealing with sanctification. So I'm not going to elaborate too much upon this as it is shown here at the very end of chapter 3. But he says in verse 13, to the end he may establish, that's the same word he used in verse 2, that he wanted Timothy to go and to establish you, same word. So he's praying for this continued establishing or strengthening and grounding of them. So this is a new church. He wants them established. Timothy, go and make sure that they're established. But he wants it to go right to the very end. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. It is the strengthening of their hearts. Why the heart? Well, because the heart speaks of the new man with quickened affections. So there's that new man, but that new man needs to be strengthened with all might by the Spirit in the inner man. And so the focus of the prayer for them has been upon perfecting their faith, verse 10, advancing their love, verse 12, but that's not an end of itself. Christians are not just to grow in their faith and advance in their love and just be left in isolation or in a vacuum. The whole point is that they are found unblameable in holiness before God. Unblameable in holiness, that is the desire. Paul sees this end when the church is gathered together at the coming of Christ. He's already made mention of this, the coming of Christ, several times. The end of, in fact, every chapter, I think, certainly the first few chapters, end with the coming of the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 10, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. It's referring to his coming. The end of chapter 2, verse 19, the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming. And here at the end of chapter 3, again, he's referring to his coming. He's going to do it again in chapter 4, the coming of the Lord. So in chapter 4, we'll deal about the coming of the Lord Jesus a little more. But here's the scene. This is a scenario. This is the perspective. It is them strengthened in their hearts, unblameable in holiness before God. Now, this is the desire, unblameable, without blame. That doesn't mean to say without sin. It's not that they have the absence of sin. We noted that even when we were dealing with Elizabeth and Zechariah, that they were walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And yet a few verses later, we see Zechariah not believing God, sinning in unbelief. But the general tenor of the life is one where you cannot see obvious deficiencies. It cannot be said that they are truly hypocrites because the outward conduct of their life is without blame. You can see a consistency in all their words and works. And Paul wants to see this. And how will he see it? Well, if their faith becomes more complete and they understand more, and if they abound more and more in love. If they're abounding in love, really growing in love, advancing in love, manifesting more love, and it keeps doing that to the very end of their lives, there's no possible way that it could be anything but said of them that their hearts are unblameable in holiness. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Abounding in love is abounding in purity, is abounding in Christ's likeness. And if you make it your life's goal to fulfill the wish of the apostle in verse 12, to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, if you make that prayer, Lord, make me to abound and increase in love more today than I did yesterday and any other day, if that was a prayer and that was answered, you wouldn't have to worry about the coming of the Lord and how you would stand, because there's no doubt that you would be unblameable in holiness before God. So you don't have to focus upon it. Will I be unblameable in holiness? You don't have to worry about that. Worry about today increasing and abounding in love more and more, one toward another and to all men. Could be concerned about that. Seek to manifest that. And you won't have to worry about the end, because it will be assured that you will be in the right condition before God at that time. My time is gone. I'll come back to this as we break into chapter 4. But it's tremendous just to see how the apostle then begins to apply the desire for holiness toward the church at the beginning of chapter 4. And what I want us to think about, and just leave it here for today, is that as we read passages like this, and when we come into chapter 4, it will be the same. When we see the desire of the apostle, here's the apostle praying night and day that he might perfect their faith, what is lacking there, and to see them grow in their love. You may ask yourself, well, am I there? Am I doing this? I mean, I feel like I'm falling short, and it feels impossible. Well, you may be falling short or you may not. Only God perhaps can truly quantify how we're getting on. But what I want us to realize is Paul knows the cross is sufficient to do this for his people. He has no doubt whatsoever that the blood shed on Calvary's cross, the atoning work of the Son of God, the application of the benefit of redemption to the people of God can do this. There's no want in the treasures and riches of Christ. There's no want in the power of the Spirit. There's no want in the grace of God. It is all there. And if we truly began to pray for one another, that we would increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, we're just taking advantage of what is already ours. The grace of Christ is sufficient. And of course you may ask, well, did God answer Paul's prayer? Just quickly turn maybe one page in your Bible to the beginning of the second epistle. God certainly began to answer his prayer, because we read in chapter 1 of the second epistle, verse 3, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly." He wanted to complete what was lacking in their faith. It's growing exceedingly. "And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." You know what's wonderful when you see God answer prayer? And often we really see that most and get more joyful about that in certain practical things. But would to God we were more joyful when we see the advance of the spiritual. The advance of the spiritual in each of our lives. May God help us, beloved. May he truly help us to advance in holiness in the way as described here, the increase of our faith and the manifestation of love, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we confess that at times we are so time-bound and earth-bound that we focus upon very visible, tangible things that we want to see accomplished in our lives. We maybe want to have that job, or we want to get into that course, or we want to find a place to live, or we want to find a spouse, or we have these various prayers, desires that bring joy at times when they are fulfilled. But Lord, deliver us from merely desiring these things. Let us desire to perfect our faith. Lord, I pray for a ministry that will perfect the faith of the saints that are before me, Lord's Day by Lord's Day. I pray their minds, and as their minds are expanded to the truth, their hearts will be expanded in response to that truth. I pray that thou wilt help us in our rightly dividing of the truth, and that Christ would be preeminent in all of our hearts as we learn more of what thou hast done for us and what thou dost expect from us. I ask, Lord, that our love would abound more and more. I pray that thou wilt help us to manifest it toward one another. Lord, if there be any issue there in this congregation, and Lord, even if there's not an issue, there's a deficiency. We're not abounding. And even if we are abounding, we're to abound more and more. We are to increase more. We are to seek to set our sights higher, even to the love of God in Christ. So we pray that thou wilt lead us as a congregation into a very practical expression of the love of God toward one another. Do it today. Do it day by day. And may we know much of thy grace and help to do it, even when it's hard. I pray again for the families of this church. Lord, it grieves our hearts to hear news of difficulties in homes and people all around us in various churches and various places and those that name the name of Christ. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt have mercy upon even the news that we hear, upon those individuals that we know about. Lord, step in, show kindness, show mercy, and grant that in this congregation thou wilt give us an increasing love toward our wives, toward our husbands, as it were, to show the love of God that we know and we've experienced, and that we would not make excuses for ourselves, but that our love would grow and abound more and more. So answer prayer and search our hearts and bring us to repentance and enable us to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with all thy people now and evermore. Amen.
been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.